Sunkissed oranges are best for juice and every use. Only the finest California oranges are trademarked Sunkissed.
Head to Hopper's Hollywood. Miss Hopper is just going on the air. Will you listen, please? Head to Hopper's Hollywood. Miss Hopper is just going on the air now. Please listen. Head of Hopper's Hollywood.
Yes, it's Head of Hopper's Hollywood, told you by Hollywood's favorite columnist and brought to you this week and next from New York by the growers of sun-kissed oranges and sun-kissed lemons, the oranges that are best for juice and every use. Now, they aren't known for quality just by chance. The winter sun-kissed oranges are a special improved variety, the seedless navel, fine-looking oranges, easy to peel and slice or section. Their juice is richer in color and flavor, in vitamins and minerals, thanks to California's all-year sunshine, fertile soils, and scientific watering and feeding. And sun-kissed oranges are the finest produced by 14,000 cooperating growers. Each orange is tree-ripe, thoroughly washed, individually inspected, then trademarked sun-kissed on the skin. Insist on sun-kissed oranges at your dealer's tomorrow. Now, Miss Hopper, with the latest news of Hollywood and New York, from New York.
Thank you, John King, and hello, everybody. I've been here since Saturday, and so far I've seen Ed Wynn and Boys and Girls Together, the Russian Ballet opening of the Metropolitan, heard the Philadelphia Symphony, and saw Gilbert Miller's new play, Delicate Story, with Edna Best, and last night, Life with Father. This play is really something to shout about. If you're in New York, run, don't walk. If you're not in New York, arrange for your tickets before you come. But whatever happens, don't miss it. It's worth coming 3,000 miles. For. It will probably run 5 years at the Empire, and then they'll make it into a picture and it will go on forever. And why? Because they've taken out the fourth wall and let you look at human beings who lived as a family in the 1880s. It gave me a twinge seeing John Drew Devereaux, because I remember the day he was born, the only grandchild of the late John Drew. He plays the oldest son, and now he's a young leading man on Broadway with 6 offers from Hollywood. Our Hollywood girls are doing very well for themselves here. Jinx Falkenberg, who's in the Al Jolson show, was little more than a model in our town. Now she's the toast of Broadway. Joyce Matthews, who played Bits, is being seen about with Ed Wynn. Victor Mature, who switched from Liz Whitney to Lana Turner to Betty Grable, now that he's rehearsing in the Gertrude Lawrence play, has switched again. This time to Phyllis Brooks, who used to be engaged to Cary Grant before Babs Hutton move came along. Public Deb number 2, Esme O'Brien, who spent 6 months in Hollywood but is now working in radio, is being bowed about by young Frank Freeman, son of the president of Paramount Pictures. Incidentally, it's rumored here, which I don't believe, that his father is about to resign his presidency at Paramount. Love Thy Neighbor with Benny and Alan opens here December 21st. Then Jack and Mary fly back to the coast because they refuse to miss Christmas with their adopted children. I promised Jeanette McDonald's fans I'd let them know where she's stopping. Well, she's at the St. Regis. It's nice to know that Lawrence Tibbett's voice is entirely rested, and he'll sing in the Ford Hour December 29th and at the Metropolitan January 3rd in Rigoletto. Have you heard of James Melton's accident? While singing opera with Lily Pons last week in Chicago, 2 chorus boys were supposed to catch him as he fell backwards, but miscalculated his weight and he hit the stage with such a thud that he was knocked out. One error for the boys, one rush for a doctor for Melton instead of the usual curtain calls. The report that Will Rogers' life story is being offered around various studios but no deal yet is absolutely false. The truth of the matter is that every studio in Hollywood has been after the story, but Mrs. Rogers hasn't made up her mind yet if she wants it done on the screen or not. Kay Kaiser and his band arrived in Hollywood in February to do their 3rd picture, You're in the Army Now. Director Willie Wyler wired designer Omar Khayyam to whip up a gown for his wife, Margaret Talashay, to wear in the Lee Tracy play Every Man for Himself, which opens here Monday night. Wyler also wants Omar to design Betty Davis's clothes for Little Foxes. At the Algonquin yesterday, I watched Edna Best, who had opened the night before in the Gilbert Miller play, come into the cafe, unrecognized, which was so different from some years ago when she did the high road here with Herbert Marshall and was wined and dined by everybody in New York. And yet today, Edna Best is a better actress than she was then. Incidentally, her ex-husband, Herbert Marshall, and his new wife attended her opening. Hollywood couldn't have been more surprised at the coming marriage of Irvin Cobb's daughter, Buffy, to Roland Young. This would be Buffy's 4th marriage, and we thought she had another young man all picked out for herself. This will be Roland's 2nd, and he'll have a family made to order because Buffy has 2 children. You can expect the New York nightclubs to pick up over the weekend. Errol Flynn arrives to join his wife, Lily Demeter, who has one of the most sensational wardrobes in New York. Henry Fonda comes in next week. Andy Devine flew in today, and Linda Darnell comes in early next week. I understand Errol will be here only a very short time because he's promised to be in Santa Fe, New Mexico next Friday for the opening of his picture, Santa Fe Trail. But based on past performances, one never can tell about Flynn. Lucky thing for the Hollywood producers that they carry terrific insurance on their stars because half the stars of Hollywood are down with the flu. Remember that Norman Kerry story I told you about Monday, that he was stranded in Europe and cabled our State Department for help, and the news was sent on to Hollywood? Well, it's nice to know that Jack Conway, Mervyn LeRoy, and Cedric Gibbons wired money immediately to get Norman back from Nice, with the assurance that he'll have a job the minute he arrives in Hollywood. At the previews in Hollywood this last week, the fans have been swarming around a gal they thought was Myrna Loy. She happens to be the new RKO find, named Scarlet Knight. Little Jean Tierney is making her success the hard way. She's playing the lead in Tobacco Road, and when she showed up on the set the first day's shooting, director John Ford said, you'll have to dirty up, and quickly. You might try rolling in that dirt over there, pointing to the other side of the set, and I'll be darned if she didn't go and do it. One of the sights of the town yesterday was Harry Carey treating his two Indian servants to chow mein at Ruby Foo's and vice versa. And at Lindy's I came across Mr. and Mrs. Oscar Levant, Henri Bernstein, Mary Anita Lose, consoling Alfred Vanderbilt, who was consoling himself with a Lindy herring. John Garfield denies the divorce rumor. They've just celebrated their 8th wedding anniversary. And it's Olivia de Havilland and Francho Tone now instead of Jimmy Stewart. Last week it was Tone and Carol Landers. Metro's testing Jack Barrymore's daughter Diana in New York today. And Jack asked baby Sandy if she wanted to grow up to be a glamour girl like Marlena Dietrich. And Sandy replied, leave me alone, I just want to make mud pies. Carmen Miranda asked her boss, Daryl Zanuck, what it meant to go Hollywood. Daryl replied, well, expensive car, chauffeur, trying to impress people. The result that Miranda chauffeurs her entire band to the studio daily in an old Ford. When two leopards broke loose on the road to Zanzibar set yesterday, Dottie L'Amour swooned, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope for the first time in their lives were speechless, and they were all saved in the nick of time by trainer Olga Celeste. Now for a word about, well, you guess what? That's right, that wonderful new crop of sun-kissed navel oranges.
Juicy, seedless sun-kissed navels, Miss Hopper. Yes, last week we announced the fine new crop, and by now no doubt you've tried them and proved for yourself how California's sun and soil have combined to make these sun-kissed navels the best ever in all sizes, too, for juice or for salads and desserts, and they're grand for eating whole. In fact, here's something to remember. Just because these deep-colored, heavy, sun-kissed navel oranges have so much rich, golden juice, don't assume that they are juice oranges alone. You'll find them perfect for peeling and slicing. The peel strips off so easily, the segments separate so nicely, and of course they're seedless. The finest time for fresh winter salads and healthful desserts. Get several dozen tomorrow. Oranges stamped, sun-kissed, for finest quality. Best for juice and every use. Time now for Hedda Hopper to bring you the third episode in the true life story of Dorothy L'Amour, star of Paramount's Moon Over Burma, soon to be seen in theaters throughout the nation.
After Dottie finished high school in New Orleans, Mrs. L'Amour took her to Chicago. Upon arrival, they both went to work. Mrs. L'Amour as a salad chef and Dottie operating an elevator in Marshall Field's department store. After she'd been working there 6 months, Dorothy Dell, a close chum of high school days, accidentally got into Dottie's elevator. Miss Dell, who was then on the New York stage, knowing Dottie's talents, invited her to lunch to talk about finding Dottie a job singing. As our dramatization starts, Dee and Dottie are in a small cafe near Marshall Field.
I can't get over how stunning you look, Dee. I feel ashamed to be eating with you in this uniform.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Now, what in the name of heaven are you, with all your looks and talent, doing running an elevator?
Well, Mother and I landed here in Chicago with only $4 between us. We had to do something.
Well, all I have to say is that it's silly. You ought to be singing somewhere, not running an elevator. I'm going to do something about it.
What?
You're still practicing your singing, aren't you?
Of course.
Now, look, do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to call Dot Gulman. Now, there's someone who'll really go to town for a gal.
Who is she?
Oh, just one of the smartest publicity women in the business. Yep, I'm going to call her right now, and the three of us are going out tonight.
Going out? Where?
To the Morrison Hotel. You see, tonight's celebrity night, and that'll fix it for you to be introduced. And then you're going to get a chance to show this town that you can sing.
Oh, you're a darling, Dee, but I can't. I haven't any clothes. Really, I haven't. You don't realize how poor we are.
Well, you can wear something of mine. All I know is that you're going. You running an elevator. That's the dizziest thing I've ever heard of.
So Dee Dell took Dottie to the Morrison that night and arranged for her to sing. Herbie Kay was leading the orchestra, and after Dottie finished, he sent a note over to her table. Dottie could hardly wait to get home and tell her mother.
Mother? Mother, are you asleep?
Oh, is that you, Dorothy? Oh, turn on the light.
Oh, Mother, it's too wonderful for words. I got up and sang in front of a whole ballroom full of people, and they liked me.
Did they, darling? Oh, how good.
And when I finished and went back to the table, a little later, a waiter came over with a note. It was from Herbie Kay.
And who's Herbie Kay?
Well, he's the orchestra leader whose band is playing at the Morrison.
Oh, yes.
Well, here's the note. Read it. He wants me to audition for him day after tomorrow at the Black Hawk.
Really? Oh, that's marvelous, darling. Are you the only one to be auditioned?
No, it's a sort of general audition. He's hearing all the singers in town, I guess. Dee says he's looking for a girl soloist to go on tour with the band. Oh,
do you have to dress up for that sort of thing?
Oh, yes. That's what I've been afraid of. I haven't anything I could wear. What'll I do, Mother?
What about borrowing something from Virginia downstairs?
Maybe I could. I'll run down and see her right now.
Dorothy, don't run like that. You'll be all out of breath before the audition, and you won't be able to sing.
But, Mother, we're late. We'll just have to run. Come on.
Slow down. Where are we now?
This is Lake. It's down that way. Hurry, Mother. Let's run.
Dorothy, be careful. Don't slip.
Oh, dear, you've fallen. Are you hurt?
Oh, yeah. I hurt my arm. Oh, and my dress. Oh, Mother, it's ruined.
Good heavens. The whole sleeve is ripped open and the back.
Oh, dear.
Well, here, let me wipe that mud off your
sleeve. Oh, it's ruined, Mother. Look at me. I'm a sight. I'm going home.
Dorothy, stop that. You're not going home.
But look at me. I'm a mess. I can't go there looking like this. I'm going home, I tell you.
Now, listen here, young lady. This is the one opportunity you've had since we've been here, and I'm not going to see you throw it away. Torn clothes and all, we're going to see this, Mr. Kay, and you're going to walk out in front of that orchestra and sing. Now, come on.
Mother, I shouldn't have come here like this. Please, let's go.
No, Dorothy, we'd better stay. Oh, hold still a minute. There's still a little mud on your face.
Oh,
right, it's gone.
Oh, Mother, I just can't get up there.
Now, listen, dear, you've worked and slaved for an opportunity like this. You can't pass it up without a try, no matter how you look.
All right, quiet, please. Now, girls, you all look so attractive, I only regret we can't take you all on the tour with the band. When you come up on the stage, give the pianist your number and sing two choruses and then leave. We'll contact you later if we want you for the show. All right, first girl, Miss, Dorothy L'Amour. Is Miss L'Amour here?
Oh, gee, Mother, I can't do it.
Dorothy, remember, you're doing this for me.
Is Miss L'Amour here?
Right here. She's coming.
Good luck, darling. On Monday, we'll continue with the career of Dottie L'Amour. The part of Dorothy today was played by Jeanette Nolan and Herbie Kay by Eric Roth. Now, John King?
If you have friends who seem to be missing a lot in life because their daily health isn't up to par, why not pass this suggestion along to them? It's fresh lemon juice and soda, a sparkling alkaline drink that supplies vitamin C, has a natural regulatory effect for most people, and aids in promoting health. Here are the simple directions. Upon arising or retiring, squeeze the juice of one sun-kissed lemon into a tall glass half full of cold or warm water. Into another glass, put half a teaspoonful of ordinary baking soda, bicarbonate. Pour back and forth and drink as the foaming quiets. Try this for 10 mornings or evenings. See if you don't benefit when you make lemon and soda your regular rule. And now, Hedda Hopper previews.
I'd like to, but I'm sorry there isn't time. And so this is your Sunkissed correspondent, Hedda Hopper, saying good afternoon to some of you, good evening to more of you, and good luck to all of you.
The American Red Cross needs your help to carry on its mercy crusade. Join the Red Cross now. Your Sunkissed spokesman is John Reed King. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.